Every year, on the second Sunday of Easter, this is always the gospel. One of the things I like about Lent and Easter particularly is, at least for the beginning part of Easter and the end of Lent, it's the same gospel every year, so that you know what's coming. On Divine Mercy Sunday, we're always going to hear the institution of the sacrament of confession, and we're going to hear Thomas's act of faith. I'd like to start with Thomas's act of faith, because it is an act of faith. Even though he says, "My Lord and my God," and the Lord says to him, "Blessed are you, but blessed more are those who believe but have not seen." But the reason it's still an act of faith is because Thomas is saying, with what he says, that I believe that you're God. He knew Jesus, the man. There was no faith needed to say that Jesus lived. I mean, he lived with Thomas for 3 years. They went everywhere together with him and the disciples. But to come to this beautiful revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's why when Thomas says, "My Lord and my God," that is really an act of faith on his part. It's truly a revelation to him. And what's connected to that, in a certain way, the act of faith in Jesus as who he is what we heard in the first reading. So the Acts of the Apostles, if you've never read that book of the Bible, I highly encourage you to do it. Sometimes some of the fathers of the church call it the gospel of the Holy Spirit. Because you see this extension of the work of Christ happening at the hands of the apostles. St. Peter, his famous act of faith, "You are the Son of the living God." And Jesus' response was, "You are Peter, and I give you on this rock I will build my church." And after the resurrection and the ascension and the descent of the Holy Spirit, St. Peter goes out and to do things that he would, if you had told him just a week before, he would have said, "That's ridiculous." But instead, he goes up to the cripple and says, "I have neither silver nor gold, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk." And he did. And today we heard that so powerful was St. Peter known for his miracles that people would try to just push the sick and the suffering so that his shadow would fall on them and they would be healed. And it's all because of the act of faith. And then the power that they received. And so just like the Lord, when he did miracles, the miracles weren't to be done in and of themselves, but they were to point to a greater reality that nobody can do these things without God. And Jesus was the Son of God. And he even told the apostles, "You will do greater things than I have done." And if you think about that, it makes sense, because they're just humans whom God has shared his power, whereas Jesus Christ was true God and true man. And so everything he did, all of the miracles, although they were acts of the divinity, the humanity is always joined together. And so one of the things I think we should take away from this, from St. Thomas and those early Christians, is to have confidence in prayer. The last line of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, or at least the way that I was taught it after you finish all of the prayers, is to say 3 times, "Jesus, I trust in you." He wants us to have confidence in our prayer to him. Confidence doesn't mean I'll get everything I ask for. We already know that, because we've all asked for something that we didn't get. But confidence in who he is and in his love for us. And the hardest thing sometimes to accept is that we follow a crucified Savior. And so when he says he knows what you're going through, he does. And our confidence isn't that he's going to take my cross away as much as he's going to help me to carry it. And then another part of the Divine Mercy, which if you've ever never done the novena, which in a certain sense ends today, but you can do it any time. It's a beautiful novena. And every day the Lord said to St. Faustina, I want you to bring me this group of people, and then this group of people, and then this group of people. And it goes through all sorts of people. It goes through the faithful people, the people who do the novena and keep the divine mercy, the people who are far from God, the people in purgatory. Bring all of them to my mercy. And when you think about divine mercy, then we have to come face to face with why we need it, which is sin. And sometimes we have a lack of confidence that God will actually help us to overcome our sinfulness. I mean, by our human nature, we are always, in a certain sense, we have a tendency to sin. The big word is concupiscence. It was one of the effects of original sin of Adam and Eve. But we should never forget that when we say God is something, he is the totality of what it means to be that. So when we say God is love, it's not like that's a third of God and the other third is justice and the other third is mercy. No, God is all loving. And God is all just. And God is all merciful. And the only sin he won't forgive is the one you don't give him. And every year, for 24 years, when I do first confessions, I always ask the kids, are you afraid to go to heaven? And of course they say no, because they know that's what we were created for. God created all of this world for us, and he created us for himself. And when we fell, he sent his son to give us the grace that we can still realize the reason we were created. And even though he knows we're sinful, and so he gave us confession to take away our sins. And so to be afraid to go to confession is, in a certain sense, to be afraid to go to heaven. And you don't want to be clinging to your sin. You want to be clinging to God and his mercy in Jesus Christ. So when the apostles were gathered in the upper room that first day of the resurrection, Easter Sunday night, save Thomas, the Lord gave them the Holy Spirit. And the first movement of the Holy Spirit in Christian times is for the removal of sin. He knew that he wanted us from his time to the end of time to be able to go in to a confessional, to a priest, to say what our sins are and to hear the words of absolution. I absolve you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the last words of the confessionals, sometimes, that's what I use. The Lord has freed you from your sin. Go in peace. Sin does not bring peace, but grace does. And the all-loving, the all-just, and the all-merciful God wants to make sure that you and I receive his mercy and receive his peace. And so on Divine Mercy Sunday, if you've been away from confession, we have lots of people who go regularly, which is so beautiful in our parish. But if you've been away, even if it's been 6 months, don't wait. Live every day in the grace that God wants to give you. And as I've mentioned before, if you ever commit a mortal sin, do not let that sin on your soul 1 second longer than it has to be there. Because he died on that cross to take that sin away. And the dumbest thing we could do is to cling to that sin. But with God's grace, the best thing we can do is give up our sins and say with Thomas, my Lord and my God, and live in the peace of Christ on earth until its fulfillment in the kingdom.